our text here this morning out of Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 11. And we start talking about that Palm Sunday when the Lord Jesus Christ triumphantly entered into Jerusalem riding on a donkey and in here proved himself to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And what I want to focus on today is a slightly different. Typically, I talk about Jesus coming in and he's the King. But this morning, I want to take a look at the crowd and their reaction to the events that was going on this morning. We're going to pick things up here, starting in Matthew. The first 11 verses talk about that Jesus told his disciples to go out to gather up the donkey, to get the supplies, and you'll have everything in order. And when you get there, if you take the donkey, that the person will say, you know, what are you doing? You're stealing it. And he says, well, the Lord had need of it. And he'll let you have it. And the disciples went, and lo and behold, they found it just as Jesus said. They grabbed it, they started to walk off. The guy came out and said, hey, you're stealing my donkey. And he said, the Lord had need of it. And he said, so be it. And he let him have it. And we see the Lord providing and taking care of that. But in the aftermath of that, picking things up in verse 6, so the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt and laid their clothes on them and set him on them. And a great multitude spread out their clothes in the road, and others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitude who went before and those who followed out cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Now you can picture as Passover, as the Jews are assembling for Passover, all available Jews were required to show up. So in here, Jerusalem is just packed and crowded. Now, I imagine you've been into a big crowd and how chaotic things can be. And you have different events going on all over the place. A lot of things were grabbing your attention. You know, over here, someone was offering to sell something. Over here, some people were trying to buy things. A family's trying to get some food. People are trying to rush off, trying to make plans and hurry things along, all to prepare for Passover. And in the midst of all this, Jesus comes riding in. The disciples were obedient in doing what God asked them to do, and they brought Jesus in, and the crowd broke out saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna. Hosanna means, Lord, save us. Save us, Lord. And it became a declaration of praise and honor that he is the only one who can save us, and how that applies to us today. In the midst of all what's going on, it's the Lord that we seek to and help. I believe the Lord enables our scientists and doctors and the help. But make no mistake, it is the Lord who's behind it all. And I want to take a look here. I got three objects that we talk about our faith and how we respond to what we see. The crowd, as they saw Jesus come riding in, responded in three ways. As we look at the events of these things and turn our eyes upon Jesus, we can reply to him in these three ways as well. The first one, by faith, we see. By faith, we see. Well, Pastor, what are you talking about? As Jesus is riding in, what a spectacle that must have been. Full-grown man riding in on a donkey. The crowd cheering. The parade going on. People taking off their coats, taking palm branches and laying them down. I'm sure from an outsider's point of view, they looked at this and said, what is going on? Matthew chapter 6, verses 6 through 11 says, and this was done that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken by the prophet, saying, tell the daughters of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. These things were done in prophecy that Jesus was the Messiah. He was the Savior who God was going to send. That from the beginning of time, in the Garden of Eden, God said that he was going to send someone that would save the people from their sins. And Israel had been waiting, excitedly expecting the Messiah, the Savior, to come. And year after year went by. Decades and centuries. until this chosen time. And Jesus comes riding in, fulfills that prophecy here. And here he is riding in on this donkey. That he is the chosen one. And I'm sure from the outside crowd, they would have looked at this and said, who is this guy? You know, a donkey isn't a real fancy vehicle. I remember years ago, I had a little Mitsubishi Tridia. I got it for next to nothing. It was just a little tiny six-speed. I was pastoring a church, and the teenagers of the church would come out and make fun of me because it was just a tiny little thing. I don't even think it was sold in the U.S. I looked it up online, and the only places that I found it available was Australia. How it got to Maine, I don't know. But it was a fun little car. And all the teenagers of the car, a church would come out and they referred to it as my little Russian car. Right? Nothing fancy. No one was impressed. I figure that's sort of the donkey of Jesus this day. You got to realize at that time that those would return triumphant, the kings and the emperors and the Caesars and the generals, as they would come riding back, they would ride on a white horse. Because white horses are seen. Right? It stands out. And as they would come riding in, oftentimes in battle, they would have a brown horse. Because you don't want a bright white horse riding in the battlefield, because that's just like putting a big target on you. But what they would do is turn around and have their battle horse, and then they would come around and ride on this white horse, victorious, and, hey, look at me. The Romans understood power and authority. As they would return from battle, they were victorious. They would line up their soldiers and polish them up and shine, and they would glisten. The Romans understood power. They understood authority. Our society, we don't necessarily put our military up to that point. But we have fame, and we have riches. We have wealth. We have these things. How many YouTube subscribers we have? How many friends on Facebook? How big of a crowd do we gather in the social medias? All these things. That these we elevate up. And Jesus comes in humility, riding on a donkey. But the crowd saw something by faith that no one else saw. They saw the Messiah. They saw the one that was going to save them. They saw what they were waiting for. And by faith, they saw. Jesus asked his disciples in Matthew 16. And when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I am, the Son of Man am? So he said, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. If we were to call out today, who is this Jesus? Someone would say he was a good teacher. Someone would even deny, he didn't even exist. Who do they say he is? But the real important question is, who do you say that I am? And Jesus turned to his disciples and he said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. By faith, Jesus goes on to say that flesh and blood hasn't revealed you. You didn't figure this out on your own, but God, the Father, has revealed this to you. By faith, as we look at the events, as we look upon Christ, as we pray to him and cry out to him at this time of need and hurt, he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is my Savior. He is my friend. By faith, I receive him, though I don't see him with my eyes, or don't hear him with my ears. I know he is ever there. How about you? Do you see by faith our Savior? Do you see his presence? Do you hear his voice and all the things around us? The world's going to miss it. The world doesn't get it because they're just looking with flesh and blood. But those of us who have given our life to Christ, have opened our hearts to him and asked him to come in, that in here he opens up, spiritually awakens us, that we can see him. I can behold him. Second thing I want to look at this morning is this: by faith we act. That faith isn't just some passive thing. We just think, oh yeah, I have faith, and then I sit back and kind of relax and twiddle my thumbs. We see this playing out here in Matthew. So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. And a great multitude spread out their clothes on the road. They cut down the branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. See, you gotta understand that faith drove them to action. Not only did they see him, they saw him come on through, but in here they were spurred to action. Our faith needs to drive us to action. Because I believe in Jesus, I do what? In your life, we have an opportunity to reach out to our neighbors, to call someone, to text someone, to send someone a letter, maybe find someone who's in need and provide a meal. All these things we can do by faith. In here, by faith, I pray to him. By faith, I share my testimony. Just the other day, we were walking down the road, and a lady was biking by, and she stopped, and of course, we got the social distancing, so you know we're probably about 8-9 feet away, and I asked her how she's doing, and she shared a little bit. I said, do you mind if I pray for you? And it's always kind of weird when you ask someone, you know, in the middle of the street, can we pray? And I try to do that quite often in town, and people will say, okay, and I'll pray right there in the streets. And they say, thank you. I don't do it for a show. I don't do it for applause. I just do it because Jesus is real. That Jesus is real in the streets as he is in the church, as he is in your home, as he is on your Facebook page or your YouTube channel or wherever you are. Jesus is real and he is there. And by faith, I act. I live it out. It's interesting because Luke picks up the story here. And Luke adds this on. It says, and some of the Pharisees called him from the crowd, teacher, rebuke your disciples. But he answered and said to them, I tell you that if I should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. These Pharisees were like, just shut up. Just be quiet. Right? Maybe that's the message we get from the world today. You know, you Christians, just you be quiet. Why do you got to spread this Jesus thing? Why do you always got to interject God? Why do you got to put verses online? How uncomfortable that is. I find it interesting that now, because the churches are closed, the churches are going where the people are. And so many churches now are fleeing online. Like this, we're putting messages on. I'm not a tech guy. I saw a meme the other day. A guy says, a pastor wrote on there, he goes, what in the world's happened? He goes, all my pastor friends have now become televangelists. Right now, all of a sudden, I'm a televangelist. Hey, that's a scary thought. But because of our faith, we have to act. And people are complaining about all these churches. And I'm getting all these invites to church services. And people are sharing these verses. And they're asking me to pray. All these things are being bombarded all around. They're like the Pharisees. Be quiet. I can't be quiet. My faith calls me to action. I need to declare who he is. I have to share my faith. So you can have it too. Called and spurned to action. And Jesus says, I can't tell him to be quiet. I can't tell him to be quiet. Don't you see what's going on? And blessed are those that hear our message and receive it. I believe there's a lot of lonely people there. A lot of people hurting right now. Many people are isolated. Can I tell you something? I'm glad I have the Lord. I'm glad I have a church body. I have people contacting me, and I'm reaching out, and people are reaching me, and all these things that we're all in this together. I am so glad that I have a body, even though we can't meet together. Even though I'm sitting preaching here to empty pews, I know that you are at home and you're praying for me, and you know I'm praying for you. The beautiful thing of the body of Christ. And my heart breaks for people who don't have that. But they're invited in. They're invited in. It's not some private club. It's not some isolated thing. That you are all welcome to join into the family of Christ. Lastly, by faith we wait. By faith we wait. I am not a patient man by nature. I want things now. I always joke around at the church. The microwave isn't fast enough. I want the mega wave. I want the thing you put in there and just 1 second, boom, it's done. Right? I want it immediately. I get stir crazy, all these things, what's going on, and the government is shutting things down. And I get twitchy. I can't just sit at home. I gotta go off. I can't wait for all this to be over. But by faith we wait. As we see Jesus, as they saw Jesus, they cried out, save us. That was a declaration of praise right now, but also a call for a future. Israel was under the bondage of Rome, and they were looking for a deliverer. The promise was that one would come up and regain the throne of David, and that's going to happen in the future. By faith, they saw him, and by faith, they declared what was going to happen. And we're in the same boat. As we are in these things, and we're in this mess that we are in today, we look unto Jesus, not just to save us from today, not just to protect us from a virus that's going on right now, but we look forward to a day where the Bible says there'll be no more sickness or no more pain, there will be no more pandemics, no more death, no more goodbyes. As we look these things, we look to the end of the book. If you ever get discouraged, read the end of the book. Some of you guys do that, right? You're going through and you're reading your books and things get a little tense and you sneak a peek at the end of the book. Now, I'm not that kind of guy. Don't tell me the end of the movie because you'll ruin it for me. But the Bible, I believe it's okay. We're told to look at it. Actually, it's the one book that there's a promise of a blessing to those who read it. As I look at the peek at the end of the book, I find a wonderful thing. Jesus wins. Jesus wins. And because I belong to Jesus, I'm on the winning team. Praise God. Revelation chapter 19, verse 11 says, now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. Jesus is going to come again. Not on donkey this time, but the promise is that he's going to come again, and this time he's going to come back on a white horse. He's going to come back victorious. Every eye shall see him as he comes and takes back that which is his. Revelation 19 as well goes on in verse 16. It says, and he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I don't care where you are this morning. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, that's how I get a thrill up your soul, that Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It doesn't matter what's going on in this world. Jesus is greater. That he is in control. I don't know why all this is going on right now. I don't speak for God. I know I can trust him. And I know all these things are but for a season. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. No matter where you're sitting today, whether you're fully dressed or in your pajamas with a cup of coffee, I want you to declare for yourself that Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And it starts right here in me. He is my King and he is my Lord. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Philippians. He said these words, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Of those in heaven and those on the earth and those under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. That someday, and Lord, hopefully soon, someday when he comes, there'll be no more excuses. All those who've denied him will acknowledge who he is, that Jesus Christ is the Lord. They will acknowledge that he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. They'll have no choice. They shall see him for who he is. And I don't care who you are, you're listening to this, your knee will bow to Jesus Christ. But praise God, we have the opportunity to do it now. I do it now by faith. I do it now because I know my Redeemer lives. I know he will save me. I know he watches over me. I know he will keep me. He is my King and he is my Lord. And I will gladly bow the knee 1,000 times over. What a privilege we have. That some will do it because they'll have to. I praise God that I do it willingly because I love him. And lastly, I mentioned the end of the book. Sneak a peek. The very end of the book of Revelation, the last of the Bible. It says these words, "And he who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus." When I was in Bible school, we had a professor. And one day he was teaching the class, and he was an older gentleman. And he paused in the middle of the class and whatever his lesson was, and he looked at us, and he goes, "You young guys just don't get this." We all kind of like, what's he talking about? He goes, "The older you get, the more people I know in heaven. The more loved ones I have there, more friends who have gone on before. And with every year, my heart yearns more and more to be with the Lord." Now, I'm a little bit older now. Several years have transpired. And I'm starting to get it. You know, I look what's going on, and I like to follow the politics, and how sickening it is, all the games that's played for power and for wealth. I look around the world, and I'm tired of doing funerals. I'm tired of saying goodbye. I'm tired of sickness and cancers. For me, I look around this, the world is not my home, the old song says, I'm just a passing through. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The heavens beckon, angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I don't feel at home in this world anymore. I'll tell you, every year they pass by, time ticks on, that my heart realizes I don't belong here. Lord, as I am here, help me serve, help me minister, love through me. Share your gospel through me. Use me while I'm here. But Lord, this is not my home. I'm awfully homesick. Lord, I just long to be with you. All those promises that are laid out for us. Lord, I'm losing patience. But until then, Lord, help me be faithful. Even so, Lord, even so, come quickly. By faith, we wait for that day. Oh, Lord, if it were today. So in our lives, as we look, I want to encourage you, turn your eyes upon the Lord this Palm Sunday. Declare that he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And in this, by faith, open our eyes that I may see. Lord, as I turn my eyes upon these things, Lord, I pray you stir within me by faith that I will look and I will act. My faith will lead me into action. And Lord, lastly, I pray by faith that I will wait and I will serve and I will be faithful until you come home. This Palm Sunday, when you're faced to faith, I pray that you will respond. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you for who you are, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Lord, come into our hearts, come into our lives, and Lord, help us to worship you. Lord, if there's someone who is listening to this who has never accepted you, who hasn't acknowledged you, Lord, I pray today will be that day that, Lord, they will believe that you are Jesus, you are God, that you died on the cross for their sins, you were buried and rose again according to the Scriptures. And Lord, I'll ask them that they will accept you into their life. And Lord, give their lives to you. And Lord, you say you will come into them. Lord, I pray that someone will say that. For those of us who are Christians, Lord, who have made that pledge to you, that promise to you, Lord, help us to keep it. And help us be faithful until you come. Lord, we ask this in your name. Amen.